Erie Insurance Exchange versus Jones, Henry C. Spalding III, John P. O'Haron, Appellant's Counsel, David Adam McKelvey, Appellee's Counsel.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, John O'Haron on behalf of Erie Insurance. In this insurance coverage appeal, the question on appeal is a narrow one. It's whether the phrase lawn or farm type vehicle is ambiguous in an insurance exception to an exclusion, such that that phrase can be reasonably construed to encompass a four-wheeler. There are two important issues that are not in dispute. One is that on its face, exclusion 6 of this insurance policy applies on its face and would apply to the four-wheeler accident. In the complaint for declaratory judgment, the plaintiff agrees that exclusion 6 on its face applies. Exclusion 6 states that Erie will not provide coverage for bodily injuries arising out of the use of any land motor vehicle. The second important concession in this case is that the underlying accident at issue in the tort case was a pleasure ride and it was off the premises of the insured's property. So to interpret exception 5, the plaintiff asked the circuit court and the circuit court agreed that exception 5 to exclusion 6 was ambiguous. Exception 5 negates the applicability of exclusion 6 for lawn or farm type vehicles or snow blowers, importantly, wherever they are used. And so looking at exclusion 6 and its exceptions as a whole, exception 3 negates the applicability of exclusion 6 for recreational land motor vehicles, but importantly, only at an insured location. Here, because the underlying accident did not occur at an insured location, it happened off premises on a neighbor's property, the plaintiff asked and the circuit court agreed that exception 5 was ambiguous and the plaintiff sought coverage through exception 5.
But as I understand it, there is no real genuine dispute as to what type of instrument this manufactured thing is, as opposed to how it could be used in a different type.
Correct, Your Honor. And that, I think, goes to the heart of the error of the circuit court. Exception 5 relates to type, not use. The type of vehicle is the kind or category that it is. And there's no dispute about what the vehicle was. The parties filed cross motions for summary judgment and a joint stipulation of facts. This is a standard four-wheeler. There was nothing attached to it, and it was being used for recreational use on a four-wheeler ride with two minor children.
Was there any evidence or any allegations that the manufacturer advertised it as a farm-use vehicle?
I don't believe there was. The plaintiff offered the deposition testimony of what they designated as an expert, and his testimony essentially said that this is the kind of four-wheeler that can be used for various farm and lawn uses. And here's an attachment that can be put on in this way, and here's an attachment that can be put on in this way. And these are the kinds of farm and lawn purposes that can be achieved with this vehicle.
Well, that's like saying you take my 4Runner and put a cargo rack on top and use it as a utility van. But was there any evidence that the actual product that was being sold was of a type to be used in engineered to be used as a farm instrument?
I don't believe so, Your Honor, other than that it can be adapted or that there are many attachments and accessories that can be purchased that fit on this vehicle and that can be used given the strength of the engine, given the size of it, that can be pulled behind to do things A, B, and C with it. So, no, I don't believe there was any other evidence suggesting that the four-wheeler, when sold or when marketed, was marketed in that way. But I don't believe that...
Can I stop you for a second, counsel? Because what about the testimony of the expert witness that said it can be used like a wheelbarrow? And I assume by that he means you can just put things on it and move things from one place to another, which would not be something that required another implement to be added to the vehicle.
Sure.
It had racks on it where you could just stack things if you wanted to and move them from one location to another.
Yeah, you could tie all your lawn hand tools to the back of it to drive out on your property to do lawn activities.
Or you could put a bunch of bags of fertilizer on it and drive it out to your tractor, too.
Correct. And I think that in both directions, recreational land motor vehicles can be used for lawn and farm uses, no doubt, and this one included. And you can use lawn or farm type vehicles to drive to go get your mail, not for lawn or farm-type uses. And I think that's the distinction that matters here, because Erie is covering some risks and not other risks. And it's covering the risk for four-wheeling and recreational land motor vehicle use if it's on the insured's property. It is not categorizing, it is not defining the scope of Exclusion 6 by how vehicles are used. It's defining them by the kind of vehicles that they are, and it's defining the scope by where they are used. And so not only is a lawn or farm type vehicle under plain meaning, these terms are not defined, and of course that doesn't render them ambiguous, but under the plain meaning of a lawn or farm type vehicle, that does not encompass a four-wheeler. And that's especially the case when Erie clearly intended to treat mutually exclusively recreational land motor vehicles.
An issue or the thing I'm grappling with, is that a question of fact? You say it is not a farm use vehicle. But it could be used for farm uses. So
yes, and I think it would be a question of fact if Exception 5 contemplated the use of a vehicle. If Exception 5 only negated the applicability of Exclusion 6 by Use A or Use B, but not Use C and D, then yes, I think it would be a factual question. But I don't think it is a factual question here, because Exception 5 doesn't consider use. It considers the type, the kind, the category of vehicle that it is.
Okay, but I guess we go back to, how do you define what the type of vehicle it is? I mean, you know, who's the czar who decides the type?
Yeah, and I think this goes to, it's certainly the kind, I think the court has to interpret that question according to the plain meaning of what the word type means and what reasonable people would have understood this language to mean, which is how this court interprets insurance policies when terms are not defined. And I think that in interpreting lawn or farm type vehicle, it's not simply a question of who gets to decide the type, but that inquiry itself has to contemplate the full entirety of Exclusion 6 and the risk that is meant to be excluded by Exclusion 6. The problem with considering the use or defining type to include use is that it renders Exclusion 6 essentially toothless. Because if you can use a lawn or farm type vehicle for certain things and other things, and recreational land vehicles can be used in one way or another, you reach a point where the exclusion itself to exclude coverage for bodily injuries arising out of the use of a land motor vehicle doesn't have any reach, because these vehicles can be used for all sorts of things.
Yeah, but I guess the problem I have is, let's think about just the idea of a wheelbarrow. Is it a farm implement or not? How do you figure that one out?
I think that's a question. I think yes, it is, and I think especially so when there's a separate exclusion that defines a separate category of vehicle as recreational land motor vehicles. I think the question here would be a little bit closer if Exception 3 did not exist. If the only thing this court was looking at and the circuit court were looking at was whether a four-wheeler could be considered a lawn or farm-type vehicle, it shouldn't be because of the word type, but it would certainly be a closer call if Exception 3 was not there. But it's clear that the parties contemplated recreational land motor vehicles to be a different kind of thing than lawn or farm type vehicles, because they're covered in different ways and at different locations. And so this court, in interpreting these non-defined terms and in looking at Exclusion 6 as a whole, should find that the term lawn or farm type vehicle is not ambiguous, because it does not consider use, and because construing that term in the full context of the policy as a whole, but also in the context of Exception 3 in particular, is not ambiguous and cannot be reasonably understood to encompass the four-wheeler at issue. It is similar. This court had found that the creative argument in the EPCMD case was a little too creative to be equally possible. And that's what we have here with considering and arguing that
Can
a four-wheeler...
Can I interrupt you with this hypothesis? Assume for the sake of argument that the type definition is not going to be interpreted as narrowly as you suggest. And the use definition, which is the alternative deposition, which is not in the insurance policy, but nonetheless that's the argument, is, well, it wasn't being used as a lawn or a farm vehicle. So if we're going to go with use, it wasn't. If that's the risk that the underwriters are trying to figure out when they're coming up with the premium, it wasn't being used that way. So where does the argument go anyway?
Yeah, I think it has to remain at the hypothetical level of if a vehicle can hypothetically be used for any lawn or farm purposes.
Yeah, that would be the only way. That's the best argument that they and I need you to answer this when you come up here, that they got.
Yes, because, yeah, and again, there's no dispute that it was a pleasure ride, that it was not being used for that purpose. And we can go one step even further. The named insureds were deposed in this case and stated that they have never used it for farm or lawn uses.
So we got a station wagon that's never been used as a utility van, and it's an accident involving a station wagon, and it's covered by some insurance policy dealing with utility vans.
Correct. So viewing this exclusion as a whole, the circuit court's interpretation is too strained to be reasonable, too strained to be equally possible, which is the key finding necessary to find an ambiguity in insurance policy. And we ask the court to reverse, and I will reserve the balance of my time for rebuttal.
All right. You have 4 minutes and 11 seconds.
Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning, and may it please the court. My name is Adam McKelvey, and I represent Diamond Jones. We're here today requesting that this court uphold the circuit court's finding that there was an ambiguity in this case and thus providing coverage to the accident Ms. Jones was in. Your Honors, the argument raised by the appellant waffles back and forth between type and use. No vehicle can be a type unless you consider the potential use of it. A car, a land motor vehicle is a land motor vehicle because you can drive it on land and it's motorized. A four-wheeler, an ATV, as in this case, is something that has both actual and potential uses at any given time. One thing I will point out that I
But it wasn't being used that way.
I concede that point.
If you were to take the view, and I'm not asking you to concede anything, if you were to take the view that an ATV is a farm and garden lawn vehicle, assume that I'm skeptical of that definition. But even so, if you say, okay, well, it's being used that way, the answer is no, it's never been used that way. It wasn't used that way in this instance. At what point do underwriters get to put something on a piece of paper and accept it when they're coming up with premiums? That's all we're talking about is the adjusting of risk. Who would ever think, in other words, that this provision, lawn and farm vehicle, would apply to a recreational ATV that's never been used for a farm, is not manufactured for that, no farm owner believes that's what they're for, and the fact that you can throw, you know, a seed bag on the back of it doesn't change its typology.
Your Honor, I'm going to need to respond to that in two parts. One thing that I would point out is that this, and I believe this was in the expert's testimony, was that this four-wheeler had the ability to have implements attached to it, and that there are some type that,
yeah,
that don't. And so the hypothetical, I would say I do think there's a factual distinction.
Well, the implement might be a farm implement, but the ATV is not a farm implement. But you're not conceding anything, and I'm not trying to argue with that. But if you change this definition from type to use, which is, I think, what's happening, they weren't using it that way. So why do you win?
If the definition in the policy...
Let me just say this. It seems like to me if you changed it from type to use, then you definitely lose. So right. You wouldn't want to do that.
My mistake.
Exactly.
Why did...
Your Honor, My response to that is more of if you do change it to use, then they weren't using it as that, and I think the Chief Justice is right. We don't prevail. But what I would suggest is that it's up to the insurance company to choose the words that they're going to use to write the policy, because of the basic tenets that this court's held ambiguous terms are construed against the drafter. I mean, is it incumbent upon the insured who's unsophisticated to think up a scenario like this, or is it incumbent upon the insurance company who has the underwriters, has the lawyers working to write these policies and that type of thing? I mean, and so I guess the answer is who would consider that? I don't know that I could say anyone would consider that, but the court has consistently held in its precedent that it's the responsibility of the insurance company, who is the more sophisticated party, who is drafting an exclusion, who has the benefit of their collective experience to be able to choose.
So the logic would be, even though this thing is not itself by itself a farm instrument or farm vehicle, you can attach something to the back of it and carry a couple of bags of seed. And that either makes it a type, or the use of it that way is sufficient.
Our position is really both, that it makes it that type because of its ability to be like that, because they could have easily chosen the word use, and they didn't. They chose type. And the other thing I would submit is that it can both be used with implements, and it can be used as a farm along type vehicle without implements based on the rack and those type of things.
May I ask you this? Is a pickup truck a farm type vehicle?
Yeah.
They're used on farms all the time. Just the other day, I was driving to the courthouse, and I saw a nice pickup truck with a farm use license plate. Is a pickup truck a farm type vehicle?
I would submit that it can be, because they're not, I don't believe they're subject to motor vehicle registration when they're used exclusively on a farm and under the farm use exception.
And I've seen some beat up station wagons and things like that. That, under this policy, those would be farm type vehicles, right?
I believe so.
Okay. So any vehicle that can be used on a farm can be, potentially, is a farm type vehicle.
If it fits, and going back to kind of the underwriting issue, if it's not subject to motor vehicle registration, I would submit yes. Tractors cross roads all the time. Farm use trucks cross roads all the time. All of those types of things.
Because when I hear farm type vehicle, and I may be absolutely wrong about this, I think a combine, a tractor, something of that nature that is, you know, you see, I mean, with the lights flashing, you're going down the roads blocking all the traffic. I mean, that kind of thing, as opposed to a pickup truck. But that may be, you're absolutely right about our law. If there's ambiguity, it cuts in your favor.
I would believe so, Your Honor. And one thing I'll note kind of along that line is there's, in this situation, there's no... We would submit there's an ability of the insurance company to always choose the word while it's being used. There's an ability of the insurance company to always say that it has to be in that use while it's happening. But there are four-wheelers manufactured, I believe, according to the expert testimony, that don't have the ability to hook the implements to. And that would be something. And if they don't have a rack and they don't have those things, that's the type of thing that could easily be considered a recreational vehicle. Your question about, well, you know, I wouldn't think it's a truck because, you know, it wouldn't jump into the forefront of my mind and that type of thing, goes back to the underlying issue, I believe, or we submit in this case, that it's a question of fact. It's a question of fact of whether the vehicle that they were on is a farm or lawn type vehicle, and it's a question of fact that someone who's an expert has to be able to come in and say, I've worked with these vehicles, you know, for years, and yes, this is a type of vehicle that's used on a farm, that can be used on a farm.
The vehicle itself would require factual evidence for what it looks like, how it operates, whatever, but applying those facts to the language of the policy, wouldn't that be a question of law?
If the term is defined, potentially, Your Honor. If the term is undefined and we're searching for the meaning of the words that are on the paper, then we have to know what exists that could fit into the meaning of those words. And so I would submit it's a factual issue. If it were defined and it specified this X and not Y and that type of thing, then it very well could be a question of law.
An insurance policy is a contract. The meaning of the words in a contract is generally thought of as a legal question rather than a factual question. But maybe not in this instance.
In general interpretation of contracts, not so much with insurance, you have things like trade, custom, and usage and things of that nature. And there's a factual component built into that because you can't define every concept on paper. You'd run out of paper. And so I think there's some overlap there.
But one concept in ordinary speech, the word type. What type of vehicle do you drive? Oh, I drive a compact, subcompact. Do you have any, can you put a trailer hitch on it? I think so, yeah. Do you know that people actually put trailer hitches and put a camper on the back? Sure. But is it a camper? No, it's a subcompact. I think I told you that. But it can be used as a camper if you hitch something to it. Well, I know. It's great, but it's still a subcompact. It's not, you know, a camper. So, I mean, the word type has to be defined at some level of common sense. And if the common sense definition is type, is what it's not intrinsically that type, but it can be used like another type. That's just, to me, a linguistic stretch. That's a whole lot more than what we normally do, even in the most liberal, anti-insurance interpretations we give.
I understand your point, Your Honor. The ability for anyone to say this is the commonly accepted use or the commonly accepted meaning of a word is obviously based on their collective experience, based on their ability. Everybody brings collective experience to a situation, and at what point do we know that that collective experience is comprehensive if we haven't?
Well, here we have the insureds telling us what they thought it was, is a recreational vehicle.
And even with them, Your Honor, is that collective experience comprehensive? Is their collective experience comprehensive? And that's why in this case, we would submit that you have to, it becomes a question of fact, because no one can say that their collective experience with the issue of an ATV is comprehensive. And therefore, that's why we brought the expert to be able to establish that comprehensively this object, this ATV, is a long farm type vehicle. The other thing I would say on that is, out of everybody...
Did he say that, or did he say it becomes one because it can be used as one, which seems to me to be circular?
I believe he said both.
Okay.
The other thing I'll say, Your Honor, is that out of everybody who's a realistic example, you know, the insureds, the minor on the vehicle, the expert... The collective, if we're looking at collective knowledge and collective understanding, the insurance company and all the claims they processed from time immemorial writing these types of policies has more collective experience than the insureds on this topic, and therefore they're in the best position to draft these contracts, and that's why our law says that they write the policy, and where two considerations are equally possible, which we've clearly established here, the most favored to the insured will be adopted. Language in a policy purporting to exclude certain events from coverage will be most strongly construed against the insurer. One other thing I'll note, as far as if we're interpreting and if the court is looking at this as not a factual issue, but one of contract interpretation, there's nowhere in this policy that says that these six exclusions are mutually exclusive. That doesn't exist anywhere in the policy. If I had a recreational vehicle, and they were mutually exclusive, that means if I kept it in dead storage, it would no longer be insured if it was recreational. So I would point that out. The other thing that I would point out to Your Honors is that there was a case cited that said that these are several exceptions, that they're not inclusive, and that was Erie v. Young. It was a circuit court case, 69. Virginia Circuit 34 at 43, and that was a 2005 case out of Warren County. But we're reading in mutual exclusivity when we say, well, can it be recreational and can it be lawn or farm type? One could be both. A tractor is both. A lawnmower and a race is both. All those fun things that were talked about in the briefs are both.
A tractor is a recreational vehicle?
Tractor pulls, Your Honor.
Okay.
Hay rides.
That's the common understanding of it?
If,
as opposed to a tractor, which is a farm vehicle being used in a recreational way.
If I were running a hayride company, I would probably say yes.
Mm-hmm.
If that's all I did with it, respectfully. And so,
counsel, if you're running a hayride company, you might want to get a specialized insurance policy.
After this case, I think I would have to.
just saying.
But you realize your observation is very poignant. If you were running a hayride recreational company, these insureds were not using the vehicle as a farm vehicle. So you're best comeback, which is a great comeback, sort of exposes the problem. If you're going to say it's a type because of its use, it wasn't being used that way.
Conceded, but they had.
I guess to me, it bolsters your argument. It helps your argument because in that instance, they still would have to cover it because it is a farm-type vehicle despite the fact it's being used to pull hay.
That's our position.
Yeah, use doesn't have anything to do with whether or not it's a farm-type vehicle.
That's our position, Your Honor. And if it did, the people with years and years of claims experience could easily have put use on this paper and we probably wouldn't be here. So, Your Honor, in conclusion, we would respectfully ask that that you uphold the circuit court's finding, find this to be an issue of fact that was resolved by the expert, and that deference is given, obviously, to factual findings at the trial level and not a matter of contractual interpretation due to the lack of the definition and the lack of collective experience in the use of the word type and the fact that ambiguities are construed against the insurance company. Thank you.
Thank you. You have 4 minutes and 11 seconds.
Your Honors, briefly, I think if we look at the entirety of Exclusion 6, we see a couple clues on answering these questions. Exception 5 says lawn or time farm type vehicle or snowblower. I think that the phrase, therefore, has to be interpreted with the company it keeps. The intention here in Exception 5 under any plain meaning is to cover the kinds of vehicles that categorically are used to maintain one's premises. In Exception 4, there's reference to golf cart separately. In Exception 6, Erie did use language referencing use. They are designed to assist the handicapped is a separate exception. And so interpreting lawn or farm type vehicle must be done with a view to all of these exceptions. And the primary problem here is that if lawn or farm type vehicle is interpreted to be ambiguous and therefore covering a recreational four-wheeler used for recreational purposes, Exception 3 encompasses four-wheelers, but only at an insured location. But Exception 5 now encompasses four-wheelers no matter where they're used. A four-wheeler or a pickup truck or a tractor, a four-wheeler or a pickup truck driven to the grocery store, so long as they're not subject to motor vehicle registration, is now covered under Exception 5 because the location of its use doesn't matter and because we've sort of blown up the Exception 5 to cover anything that could be plausibly used for lawn or farm purposes. So we ask this court to reverse the ruling of the circuit court to rule that there is no ambiguity in this insurance policy, to find that there is no coverage, and to enter final judgment for Erie. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Counsel. Please call the next case.